Hey friends, welcome to the She Leads Her Life podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Schneider, and thanks so much for being here today. Today we are going to talk a little bit about anxiety. And just to give you a little bit of background, I am a certified through the International Coach Federation, PCC coach. I went to school for that and got credentialed about almost 4 years ago now. I own my own business called Jenna Schneider Coaching, and today I'm going to go a little outside my norm and actually share with you a tool or a way of reframing how you think about your anxiety. I'm actually going to share with you something that I use with clients and a way for them to get to know their anxiety as well. Now, there can be many different levels of anxiety, and I always want to share, like, you should always contact a healthcare professional if you feel as though your anxiety is getting in the way of you being able to cope with day-to-day activities. Anxiety can show up in many different forms. There is no right way to deal or cope with anxiety. Some people have major trauma events that can trigger anxious thoughts. And some people have serotonin levels that are off in their brain and they don't have any traumatic events. And it just can affect and show up in people differently. I really believe that it is a silent epidemic that many people are dealing with. I do feel as though in the last 10 years, mental health has become a lot more in the spotlight in a good way, letting people know that they're not alone and that there is professional help and that it's not somebody's fault of why they are dealing with a mental health issue. Just like if somebody was having a heart attack or high blood pressure or anything like that, they would go on medication. Oftentimes, medication is the right outlet for people that are dealing with mental health disorders. And so I really don't want to make light of that. It is important to talk to your doctor, to find a professional in that aspect that will help decide what kind of help that you do need. So with that said, I want to talk a little bit about a book that I recently read called Why Has Nobody Told Me This Before? And it's by Dr. Julie Smith. I highly recommend it. It gives a really good foundational overview of anxiety, of depression, of emotions. Before we get into talking a little bit about anxiety specifically, I wanted to share with you end of a summary that she had at the end of a chapter in her book, What to Do with Emotions. And I'll just go through and read the bullet points that she has. It says, you are not your feelings, and your feelings are not who you are. The sensation of emotion is an experience that moves through you. Each emotion can offer you information, but not necessarily the whole story. If there is something emotions are useful for, it's telling us what we need. When you feel something, give it a name. Try to label emotions with more detail than just happy or sad. Allow emotions to be present and soothe your way through rather than blocking them out. So with that, that's a really foundational, something that we would probably even teach elementary school kids about. What is an emotion? What does it feel like to feel different emotions? And today we're going to go a little bit deeper with the specific emotion of anxiety. And like I said, anxiety can look and feel very different for different people, based on their experiences and whatnot. An example of a tool that I use with clients, and I have to say on a side note, you guys, I am seeing a lot of women, especially dealing with anxiety, not knowing who to talk to about it, and not even recognizing how much it is interfering with their happiness and day-to-day life. And so anxiety is something often that we may deal with for many, many years before it even is addressed or gets to a point where you feel like it needs to be addressed. So this exercise I'm going to share with you, if you want to find a comfortable position, and like I said, if you're not somebody that deals with anxiety, this exercise may not be for you, but it may be helpful listening to in case you do know someone that suffers from anxiety, and it can help be a tool in your back pocket as well. So, like I said, get in a comfortable position, and I just want you to take a moment to take a couple deep breaths. Kind of breathe out the stress of the day. I want you to take a moment to think about your anxiety. And if you could give it a form, or if you could see what it looks like, and even so much, give it a name. What are some of the features of what this form looks like? Is it big? Is it small? Is it quiet? Or is it loud? When is this being or form? Where is it around your body? Where does it tend to show up? Does it show up in your chest or your tummy? Is it in front of you or behind you? Does it say things to you? Is it always there? Does it come and go during the day? Is there a time of day that it's much more apparent? And as you begin to recognize and create some cognitive dissonance from your anxiety, I want you to recognize that it is not you. That this anxiety, that this being, is its own form that sometimes needs to be talked to and told that it's not true, that it does not make you a lesser of a person. That it can become quieter, and that it does not control you. I would then go on to ask my client, when naming the anxiety form, or another form we call it in the coaching world, a gremlin, what is it asking you? Does it need anything? I want you to just notice when the gremlin, when the anxiety comes and goes, is big or small. And next time that it is really loud and feels like it's right in your face and overpowering you, I want you to empathize with it like you would a small child. And I want you to very gently ask, what do you need right now? but you will not overtake me. In creating this dissonance from your anxiety, it is a reminder that your anxiety is not in control of you, that you can ask it what it needs or what the fear is that's behind it. And you can continue to work through it with a therapist or a coach and journaling when the gremlin tends to awaken and is loudest throughout the day. And then also recognize what makes the gremlin smaller. What makes the anxiety smaller? What makes it quieter? Or what triggers it to become bigger? The first step in healing anxiety is getting to know the anxiety. As silly as this exercise might sound, it is important to remember that you are a separate being from the anxiety, and that it takes time and healing to recognize that it is not your inner self that is the anxiety, that it is a separate being, an invisible ghost, if you want to call it, that can be really bossy and mean and fearful. But it's creating this relationship with your inner self to the gremlin. And it's getting to know and to create a healthy relationship with it. To remember that if this gremlin is placing thoughts in your mind, they are not always true. And to ask the gremlin why they are placing these thoughts, you may not always get an answer. But to then take the time and tell it that these thoughts are not true, that they are not welcome. And then to shift and reframe by replacing intrusive thoughts with positive ones and truth. Thanks for being a part of this exercise, you guys. And I hope this is helpful as we talk about emotions and anxiety. And this was just a small exercise that I like to do with clients that are struggling with anxiety to help create dissonance and distance from their own anxiety, to know that they do have power over it. So if you know anyone that is suffering from anxiety, I would love if you shared this with them. You can always email me at jennaschneidercoaching.com for more information about the coaching techniques that I use with clients as well. I hope everyone has a wonderful week, is surviving the craziness and the enjoyment of fall time. I know it can be a really crazy season for kids that are in school and sports. I'm right there with you. Thanks for being a part of our She Leads Her Life community. Have a great day, everybody.